Today we are in the third week of a series message called Incredible Faith. I'm like, when we got to this week and I got to this message, I'm like, Lord, your timings are perfect. You're going to hear this today. But if you were here the first week, we talked about burning some plows. There's plan A, not plan B. God is our plan. Amen. Last week, we talked about digging ditches, having faith to know that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. Today, though, we're going to grab some jars. Of course, everything that's going on with the COVID-19 or coronavirus, a lot of people are overwhelmed with decisions, not really knowing what to do. As I said, at the end of this last week, the news about what to do was changing every hour, it felt like. And in the midst of all the chaos, I want you to know we can always turn to God's Word. Amen? And it's my prayer that this story this morning will minister to your heart and your life in this season. So our passage, 2 Kings chapter 4, let's read verses 1 and 2 as we get started. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you would speak to our hearts, and Lord, that you would increase our faith during these days. Lord, that we be people of faith, not just saying it, but Lord, living it. And so, Lord, help us as we peruse through your story and your word today so we are changed. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to look at the first two verses and spend a few minutes on that because we are introduced to the wife of a prophet who was serving Elisha. We are not given her name, but according to Jewish tradition, there are those who believe that she was actually the wife of the prophet Obadiah. If that's true, you can understand if you study Obadiah's life because he was known for protecting and providing for 50 other prophets, and now he is dead. So this widow is in a devastating place. She's lost her husband, lost the income, and the scripture tells us the creditor is coming after her two sons because the law said if you can't pay your debts, then your sons could be taken as slaves. So this widow is feeling hopeless. Church, that is where most of our world is. Of course, there are those who feel like the world is falling apart because they've lost their cell phone. Come on, let's be honest, right? Church, that is so minor compared to the level of thinking of losing your husband or losing your wife. And of course, everything else that's going on in our world today, not just the coronavirus, but there are people dealing with all kinds of illnesses and diseases and health issues that are going on. Then you got relationship problems. How many marriages might be struggling out there? Some of you have children who may not be serving the Lord like they should. Others are dealing with crushing financial situations and problems like this widow. There's the growing opioid problem in our world. Suicide is a problem in our world. Young people are bombarded with ideas and thoughts that they should never have to deal with. But that's where we are. And people are feeling like, I cannot handle it all. And they feel like I'm at the end of my rope. Well, let me say this morning, when you do not know where to turn, then it's time to discover that God is the direction you're looking for. When you do not know where to turn, then it's time to discover that God is the direction you are looking for. I want to look at our stories this morning, and I believe this point will come to life as we look at it. This widow woman, again, in 2 Kings 4, is significant need. She's feeling the struggles of life. And so she expresses her need to the prophet Elisha. But I want you to hear how Elisha responds. Again, 2 Kings 4, 2. Elisha replied to her. And what did he say? He said five words. Say these words with me. How can I help you? Say it again. How can I help you? Church, you want to make a difference in this world? You want to live that Jesus-filled life? Start off every day with this thought. God, I'm available as your divine representative. Be willing to be a conduit for God to work through. When someone in the office says, boy, I've got a problem, or I've got a migraine, or my husband and wife is driving me crazy, my kids are going off the deep end. These are the things people hear. Here's what you can say. How can I help you? Even when you think, oh, I can't help them, would you be willing to make yourself available just to see what God might do through you? Elisha then asked another question. In 2 Kings 4, again, it starts this way. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? And then he says, tell me, what do you have in your house? In other words, he doesn't say, I'm here with all the answers. He says, let's see what you have. Tell me what you have. Listen to her reply. Your servant has nothing there at all. Let me pause here for a moment. I find it interesting that when people are hurting or feel that they're lacking what they need, all they can see is what they do not have. And they miss all the blessings that they do have. Church, be careful not to miss the blessings that God has already bestowed upon you. Don't forget what He's done. Don't forget how He's moved in your life. Church, when people tend to get down and feeling depressed and they're hurting, most of the time you'll find that they're consumed with what they do not have. I don't have enough money, so I'll never be happy. I don't have the job I want, so I really can't live a meaningful life. My house is not nice enough. There's no way I could ever host a small group. By the way, church, God does not need a top-of-the-line home to minister in. He's just looking for a home where He is welcomed. Amen? And who knows, in these next weeks may take us to a place that we have to meet in homes. Would you be willing to let your home be used? Or you don't think you have enough? Back to the widow for a moment. Even though her husband was a prophet and she's struggling, here's what she says. Your servant has nothing there at all. Let me ask you, have you ever heard anybody say this? I have nothing to wear. I know nobody like that. Yet they go to the closet, touch many clothes, trying to figure out what to wear, and still say, I have nothing to wear. Think about it. If we were completely honest today, most likely with all the clothes we have in our closets, we could clothe an entire village somewhere in the world. And yet, the problem that comes up is this. We get focused on what we do not have. And church, that's something that probably all of us need to work on. Amen? This widow, though, goes on to say this. She said, except a small jar of olive oil. So what do you do when you do not have very much? Well, let me tell you what you do, and this is point one today. Stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have. Stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have. 2 Kings 4:2, let me read it again. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said. And everybody say this last phrase with me, except a small jar of olive oil. You say, well, what good is a small jar of olive oil? Well, olive oil was actually very valuable in those days. It had many important uses. It was used for cooking. It was used to help burn lamps. It was there to keep leather pliable. It kept iron from rusting. It was an offering, actually, to God. It was very valuable, though she did not have a lot of it. She had a little bit. Church, could I say this? I am glad that we serve a God who specializes in doing a lot with a little. In the New Testament, when Jesus taught thousands of people, and he gets to the end of the lesson, we find out that people are hungry. And the disciples are like, who's going to feed all these people? And everybody goes, I don't have any food. And then this little boy is found who had something. It wasn't much, but it's what he had. 5 loaves and 2 fish. But church, those 5 loaves and those 2 fish in the hands of the Son of God become a lot. Listen to what happened in verse 20 of Matthew 14. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men beside women and children. Church, we serve a God who can do a lot with a little. In the Old Testament, remember this story of the Israelite army? They are afraid of the Philistines because of one man named Goliath. Who did God use? Do you remember? David, a little shepherd boy with a little stone who was bold enough with faith to say this in 1 Samuel 17. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know there is a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. And God uses little David, who had a little bit of faith and a little stone, to take down a big giant. Church, remember what Jesus said about a little bit of faith? Matthew 17, 20, he replied, because you have so little faith. Really what he was saying, you really don't have much faith at all. But he says, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Church, would you make this statement with me? Would you put it up? Say it with me. I am glad that we serve a God who specializes in doing a lot with a little. Elisha says, what do you have in your house? Remember one time God asked Moses, he said, Moses, what do you have in your hand? God never said, what do you want? What do you need? He says, what do you have? Church, start working with what you have, because God has given you everything you need to do everything he wants you to do. Listen, for me, it started with a speech impediment as I grew up. And today I know I still talk with nasality and my inherited southern accent. But God used who I was with what I had. At 8 years old, I began to sing. When I sang, it came out clearly. For some reason, when I talk, I sound one way, but in Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. When I sing, it's just something happened. At 8 years old, I could sing and not sound nasal, and so God began to use what I had at that time. And God continues to use what I have, not what I do not have. So stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have. Here's another lesson I believe we can learn from the story, and really it's a continuation of the first thought. Offer God what you have and trust Him to give you what you need. Offer God what you have and trust Him to give you what you need. Watch it come true in 2 Kings 4, 3 through 7. Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." When she offered what little she had, God gave her everything she needed. As long as there was an empty jar, the oil kept flowing. I want you to think about the request of Elisha for a moment. Elisha asked her, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to empty out everything you've got and trust God to provide what you need." Church, that is how our God works. When we show Him our faith, we get to see His faithfulness. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes these words in chapter 4, verse 6, "For God, who said, 'Let there be light in the darkness,' has made this light shine in our hearts so that we can know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ." Verse 7, "We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure." This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. Church, we have a treasure, the treasure of God in jars of clay. That's what we are. And God continues to look for a few empty jars. Church, that's where all of us and our salvation began. Because first of all, we emptied ourselves of ourselves. We emptied ourselves of our pride. We emptied ourselves of greed. We emptied ourselves of our own agendas. And we come to God totally empty, pouring out everything we have. And then He fills us with His Holy Spirit. Every day we've got to continue to empty ourselves, especially of the world, and continue to be filled by God, because He's the only one that can really satisfy you. You see, when you are weak, He's your strength. When you're hurting, He's your comforter. When you're lost, He's your guide. When you're hungry, He is the bread of life. When you're thirsty, He is the living water. And when your life is unstable, He is the rock that does not move. Let me go on to read what Paul wrote in the rest of that chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. He goes on and says this, "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, 'I believe in God, so I spoke.' We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to Himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Last verse, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For things that we see now will soon be gone, but things we cannot see will last forever. That's why the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfector of our faith. Church, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus so our faith can grow, so we can have incredible faith. I want you to think about this widow. She had a debt it was impossible for her to pay. Just like all of us have a debt that was impossible to pay. A sin debt. Because all of us have sinned against the holy God. And that's why the gospel of Jesus Christ is important for every person to hear and experience in this world. But to experience it, you really have to be empty. And when you're empty, that's when you can ask God to be Lord, Master of your life. And when you do that, you'll be filled with His Holy Spirit, and your life will never, ever be the same. Would you bow your head for a moment? If there's anyone this morning who has not accepted Jesus as your Savior, today you can do that. You just empty your life and say, God, here I am. All I have is what I have, but I'm willing to give it all to you. If it's you this morning, balcony or main floor, would you just slip your hand up? You put it right back down, but I want to pray with you this morning. If there's anyone just glancing around. I don't see hands this morning. Maybe I missed it. But Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would keep ministering, Lord, and to our loved ones that we love so dearly, whether family or whether neighbors or co-workers, God, that this truth would not only be heard by them, but experienced. That, Lord, they would respond because, Lord, in this time, in this day, there are people who are looking for something, and you're the only one who can satisfy them. So help and use our lives. Use what we have. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For all of us today, I pray this morning that we would surrender what we have and let God use what we have. Could I ask you, be available during this crisis that our nation is going through. Trust God that He'll protect you and protect your family. But church, stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have. Where you are. And then offer God what you have and trust Him to give you what you need. Church, I think so many times we can not do things because we think we don't have enough. The widow only had a little oil. I believe that God can still do great things with little. But do you believe that? See, we won't, well, God could use a church that's bigger. You know, all our bigger churches are having to shut down today and having to work through, mostly through online, and I'm glad they have that. But church, this is why I'm grateful that we're able to meet together. I'm glad, and we're family. And I don't know what's yet to come. I don't know if this thing will escalate and we will, and they'll move it down to 100 people, and then we would have to shut down ourselves at that point. But the 250 threshold, and we'll watch it in the second service because I want to be honoring to our laws of our land. But I want to ask you, through all of this, don't get lost in the media. Don't get lost in, I mean, and listen, this virus, for those who get it, it is serious. And so I'm not negating that. But what I don't want us to do, we're not people of fear. We're people of faith. It says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but that of a sound mind and love. And so that's the kind of people we want to be as we live in this world. So I'm challenging you. Let's rise up and be wise. Wash your hands. I mean, those are the things we do. Do what you can do, but also be ready for God to use you. You say, well, what do I have? What do you have? What do you have in your hand? What do you have in your house? And what could God do with that? Amen? So Heavenly Father, as we close today, we thank you for the body of Christ. But Lord, as we've been talking over these weeks, Lord, I didn't know this was coming, but Lord, you're getting ready to set your church ready to engage and help and serve and be who they're meant to be. So Lord, give us incredible faith in these days to, Lord, believe that you are still moving, you are still saving people, you are still delivering people, you are still setting people free from addictions and hurts. And Lord, continue your work, but Lord, use what we have, I pray. In the mighty name of Jesus.